Recently, our young men led us in our worship on Sunday evening, and it's always encouraging to have them participate in the worship in that fashion and to guide our minds in the worship of God. There are so many good things that you can see happening in the lives of our young people as they are growing in the faith, as they're developing their talents and abilities in the service of God. And the scriptures show us some examples of younger men, those who would be classified as youths, that serve God very devoutly and faithfully, even in the midst of very trying and difficult times. And we have such an example in the very first chapter of the book of Daniel, when the scriptures tell us of what happened to the young men who were carried off as captives by the Babylonians. This, of course, was the end result of the southern kingdom of Judah's persistent rejection of God, His will, His warnings coming through the prophets, until finally they were carried off and they suffered many things. And some of those things are mentioned here in the opening verses in the book of Daniel. And what we read here concerning these young men begins in verse 3. It says, "Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision from the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of the time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah." So to them, he says in verse 7, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. And so here are the names that are of a Babylonian background. So there's Belteshazzar, who Daniel is called, and then to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. And so these young men were selected as individuals who fit the characteristics that the king was looking for. And as such, they had many qualities that you might term secular in nature that they were very valuable for because of these things. But beyond that, of course, were the spiritual qualities that we see later on. We'll see those things in just a moment as we look at some of the verses that follow. But throughout the book of Daniel, what we see are men who were devoted to their God, who, despite the fact that they were far from their homeland, perhaps even their families, they were committed to being true to what they had learned, the things they had been brought up in terms of their religious teaching. So they were devout. And when faced even with death, they did not forsake the teaching that they had received. This is certainly our hope and our wish with our young people, that they will, you know, go off when they leave home, when they may go to college, when they, you know, resume or carry on their lives in later years, that they might all their days be faithful to God, devout, keepers of the law of God, and never forsake Him no matter what they're faced with. But of course, that would suggest that there are efforts being made now in the present. They've been made in the past, and they will be made as long as we are able to influence them to be true to the Lord, to instruct them in the ways of righteousness. Certainly, Daniel, as one who was carried off into a foreign land, and as we know, was nearly executed by Nebuchadnezzar, when later on, the wise men were not able to give an answer to the king as to what it was that he dreamed. Daniel was almost a part of that execution. But because he relied upon his God, trusted in his God, God saw fit to reveal to Daniel, answered his prayer, and was able to tell the king what in fact he had dreamed, and then what it was that the dream meant. But after we read here in chapter 1 of Daniel's selection along with his three companions, the Bible tells us in verse 8 this, that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So the chief of the eunuchs, he hears Daniel, and he's concerned because he has to keep his particular obligations, what he's been commanded by the king. And if, in fact, he does what Daniel suggests, he's afraid that you're not going to be eating well, and therefore you're going to be in a worse physical state, and the king will see that. And then I will be in serious trouble because of that. But Daniel then responds, verse 11, he says to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, he says, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. And as for these young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And so on it goes. Here we see men who are blessed by God, in part because of their faithfulness and devotion to God. We know that the Jewish law that came through Moses did not allow the Jewish people to eat certain things because those things were considered unclean. And Daniel's petition here was a petition related to his devotion to keeping the law that had been given to Moses. So he wanted to be faithful to his God. There's no doubt, based on the fact that Jeremiah and other prophets had been warning the people for so long, that those who were carried off into captivity understood that what is happening to us is the result of our failure to heed the words that God sent through the prophets. So they looked at these events that had unfolded as God's punishment upon them. And without question, you would have those who were God-fearing very careful as to how they proceeded in their lives before God. And certainly Daniel and his companions here are very much thinking in terms of making sure that all that they do is in accordance with God's will. And so he's very faithful in this regard. This is the nature that needs to be within the hearts of each and every one of us. There are going to be things that we will be faced with, trials, hardships in our life, difficulties. How can the life that Daniel lived be anything but very hard and trying? He's in captivity. He's a slave. He's been castrated, and now he has to be at the beck and call of the king to do whatever the king requires. His life at times is in danger. We know from other accounts that there were those who, seeing him and resenting him and being jealous of him, sought to destroy Daniel, and it led to that situation where the king made that decree that you don't call upon any god, you don't pray to any god, except you can petition the king, but no other deity, no other god, no other leader, nothing like that. And so Daniel, of course, in that occasion, continued his faithful prayers to God 3 times a day, which put his life in jeopardy. He was cast in the den of the lions. But again, God saw fit to preserve his life. We see the faithful man of God, cared for by his God. It doesn't mean that when we live today that God is going to deliver us out of every single hardship that we might face because we're faithful to Him. Because we know, in fact, that the faithful throughout the ages have suffered terrible things, even been put to death, because they were loyal to their God. But what we see is that faithfulness to God is seen by God. And at times, if it's in accordance with God's will, God does deliver. Today we can't see, recognize, and pinpoint God's deliverance or His answer to our prayers or the good that He brings into our lives and say, God specifically did this, because we know He works through His providential means, which are hidden from us. Though certainly any good that happens in our lives, we give thanks to God. And we credit Him for all the good that takes place in our lives. But here's the thing. We know that in the end of it all, after the story of this life is over and our chapter is written and it's sealed, that we will find ourselves in the paradise of God if we have been faithful to God. That God will most certainly, and He does certainly, see His faithful servants walking with Him each and every day. He does help them through their struggles. He guides us through His Word. We know that providentially He cares for us. We know that there are promises that are absolutely going to be fulfilled. We know that if we're faithful, that we will, like Lazarus, be carried by angels into that place of rest. And we will await the day when the Lord, His voice will be heard like a trumpet, like a shout, and He will call forth all of the dead, who will be brought forth, some to eternal life and some to eternal death or suffering. And where we find ourselves after this life is over is completely dependent upon the choices we make. No one makes it happen. No one forces us to do anything, but we, by our choices, choose to either walk in the footsteps of faithful ones like Daniel, or we can choose to, in times of difficulty, take the easier path that most people follow, which may involve turning from the Lord, forsaking the way that is right, going with the crowd. But what we know is this: if we take the difficult path of suffering and hardship, that the Lord will see us through those difficult times, but in the end, we will find ourselves in a place of rest. And in the final analysis, when we stand before the judgment, Christ in judgment, He will reward us with things that we will never lose. Everything you attain in this life will be left to someone else. Except those things that you attain which are spiritual in nature. You remember Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures which are in heaven. And so there are things we can do in this life that relate to that reward and those things which will never be taken from us. Do you have that kind of hope tonight because you have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? And are you, as a saint, a child of God, are you living the life that will enable you to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant? And if not, are you ready to come back home to your Father and to repent of your sins or be restored to a faithful and zealous walk once again? You know that through God's plan involving faith, repentance, confession, baptism, we are initially brought into the family of God. In baptism, our sins are cleansed by the blood of Christ. But it's only through faithful persistence, through whatever trials we may have in this life, that we reach the crown that is going to be given to us in the last day. And so let me urge each and every one of us to remember the need for perseverance like we see in the life of Daniel. And know that In the end, the Lord is faithful, and He will grant us all that He has prepared for us. There are many things that we wonder about. Only when that day comes will we see all that God has in store for us, and won't it be grand? Tonight, if you need to come and respond to His invitation, we invite you to do that as we stand and sing.